Consider someone trapped in patterns they hate, endlessly seeking approval, avoiding relationships, or feeling perpetually inadequate. Most would say their childhood shaped them this way, that trauma or difficult experiences carved these grooves into their psyche. But what if that entire framework is backwards? What if we're not prisoners of our past, but architects of our present, constructing elaborate stories about yesterday to justify the choices we're making today? This radical reversal sits at the heart of Adlerian psychology, a third path in understanding human behavior that challenges everything Freud and Jung taught us. While they saw us as products of unconscious forces and historical wounds, Alfred Adler proposed something far more unsettling. We are fundamentally free, and that freedom terrifies us so much that we create elaborate prisons to escape it. Here's where things get uncomfortable. That anxiety keeping you home isn't happening to you. You're manufacturing it to achieve something. A man refuses to leave his house, and conventional wisdom says anxiety prevents him from going out. Adler flips this. He doesn't want to go out, so he creates anxiety as justification. Perhaps staying home gets him attention, lets him avoid responsibilities, or maintains control. The anxiety isn't the cause, it's the tool. This applies everywhere. When we explode in anger, we're not overcome by emotion. We're wielding anger as a communication shortcut, forcing submission without persuasion. Consider the mother arguing with her daughter, who instantly switches to pleasant politeness when the phone rings, then seamlessly returns to yelling. That emotional gear shifting reveals how we unconsciously manipulate our states to serve our purposes. The past exists as objective fact, but the meaning we assign determines our present. A difficult childhood could be interpreted as permanent damage or as the forge that built resilience. Freudian thinking leads to determinism. You're bound by what happened. Adlerian thinking offers freedom. You can reinterpret your narrative anytime. This freedom comes with profound responsibility. If we create our reality through unconscious goals, then unhappiness is something we choose to avoid challenges or justify inaction. Self-dislike functions as sophisticated armor. By fixating on flaws, we create bulletproof justification to avoid relationships and rejection. This self-imposed isolation becomes a painful but familiar refuge where we never risk the vulnerability that genuine connection demands. A student with an intense fear of blushing unconsciously maintained her symptom as a ready excuse to avoid confessing feelings, a shield against potential hurt, a goal unconsciously set and meticulously maintained. This connects to Adler's most provocative assertion: all problems are interpersonal relationship problems. If you could live completely alone in the universe, all problems would vanish. Even seemingly internal struggles exist only in relation to others. Feelings of inferiority naturally motivate growth. The trouble begins when these transform into an inferiority complex that functions as an excuse. I'm not well educated, so I can't succeed. This represents fabricated causality, masking unwillingness to make real efforts. Paradoxically, those who boast loudest often suffer the deepest insecurity. Superiority complexes compensate through associating with powerful people, exaggerating achievements, or bragging about misfortunes, turning suffering into a badge of honor. When we dislike ourselves, we're creating a narrative that serves our unconscious goals, preventing genuine growth and connection. Modern life frames everything as competition, grades, careers, relationships, even happiness. Adlerian psychology dismantles this entirely. Adler's pursuit of superiority isn't about defeating others, but moving forward on your own terms. Healthy feelings of inferiority come from comparing yourself to your ideal self, not to others. Competition distorts perception, making us see others as enemies who constantly judge us when they're actually not paying attention. A teenager obsessed with his appearance received liberating advice from his grandmother: "You're the only one who's worried how you look." Our imagined spotlight exists mostly in our heads. When life becomes competition, discussions transform into contests about winning rather than addressing real issues. we fabricate reasons to dislike others, what Adler calls the life lie, shifting responsibility onto circumstances. This isn't about morality, but courage. Breaking free from competition allows us to celebrate others' happiness and see them as comrades, transforming not just relationships, but our entire experience of life. Separation of tasks clarifies confusing situations by identifying who bears the consequences. When a child won't study, studying is their task. They receive the results. Parents can offer support, but cannot force motivation. This principle applies universally. In counseling, only the client decides whether to change. Offering help respects autonomy. Forcing change creates resistance. The fundamental principle? You are the only one who can change yourself. Others' emotional reactions are their tasks. Parents might feel disappointed about your career choices, but managing those emotions is their responsibility. With a difficult boss, performing duties competently is your job. Seeking approval isn't. Blaming an awful boss for poor work might be a life lie, unconsciously created to avoid acknowledging personal limitations. Good relationships require moderate distance, close enough to help when needed, but not encroaching on others' territory. Constantly intervening prevents learning and courage development. Separation of tasks isn't isolation, it's establishing healthy boundaries. By understanding what is and isn't our responsibility, we gain freedom from unhealthy entanglement and create space for authentic connection. True freedom requires the courage to be disliked. While wanting approval is natural, humans can resist these impulses. Unlike stones rolling downhill, we can push ourselves upward. Freedom isn't about breaking from organizations, but about not fearing others' judgments. This doesn't advocate wrongdoing. Rather, it recognizes that others' opinions are their tasks, not yours. Given the choice between universal approval and living authentically with some disapproval, authenticity wins. Trying to please everyone leads to stress and inauthenticity. Through Adlerian teleology, we realize we're not avoiding someone because they hurt us. We bring up those memories because we don't want to repair the relationship. This perspective shift reveals we can change things by changing our own goals. The courage to be happy includes the courage to be disliked. Adler defines happiness as the subjective sense of "I am beneficial to the community," not external recognition. Seeking approval creates dependency. True freedom emerges when community feeling eliminates the need for validation. Children who can't be especially good often become especially bad. Both pursue attention through specialness. Problem behaviors represent pursuit of easy superiority. The antidote, the courage to be normal, accepting yourself as the foundation for change. Viewing life as climbing toward a summit makes existence merely en route. Instead, life is a series of dots, not a line. We can only live in the now. Like dance, fulfillment comes from the movement itself, not reaching a destination. Living in the present means doing what you can now, earnestly and conscientiously. Each moment lived fully is complete in itself. The greatest life lie is focusing on invented pasts and futures rather than the irreplaceable present. Adler's radical perspective. Life in general has no meaning. Whatever meaning exists, you must assign it. Your guiding star is contribution to others. Happiness isn't a distant summit. It's a way of being available right now, if only we have the courage to choose it.